to Mark chapter 5. Find your way to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Now, while you hold your fingers there, just a brief overview of what we kind of been chewing on and what we've been going over. Who can tell me? Who can tell me one of our key verses? Now, you ought to know Psalm 119, verse 105. Y'all know that by now. Thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Why? To help us see where we're going, to see where we're at right now, that we may walk in the light of God. And we know, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that your light shall shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And now we're moving on to why. What are they seeing? They're looking for fruit in your life that brings glory and honor unto God. And fruit comes from our life. And with Brother Fields, you know, when a tire's broke or an axle's bad or a bearing's out, and they're watching him to see if he's going to praise God and give God thanks now. And that's when our faith becomes real, when we go through trials of life. They're watching us and seeing us. And see, was your God real now? Is he still on the throne? Yes, he ain't went nowhere. So those are comforts to our heart, knowing God ain't went nowhere and God's still on the throne. And now we moved in to John. And we're trying to learn a verse here, if I can get to it real quick. And see, I ain't learned it yet, neither. And I'm just going to read it to you. Because this is our next memory verse. We're going to pound it in our minds that we may hear it. And to realize you've been ordained by God. That's something to think about, that knowing that you are ordained by God Almighty. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? When in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ain't that good, knowing God has chosen you? He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, ye shall give it you. These things I command you, that ye should love one another. So ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye bear fruit. And we looked at some things of things that are bad fruit. And good fruit. And I want to look at some, in Mark here, in chapter 5, in this, the Manic of Gadara, where there's a man got all the bad fruits you can possibly think of. This man is running over the tombs in the graveyard. He's running naked, no clothes on, and running over the tombs in a graveyard, and they've tried to chain him. They've tried to put fetters on him, and he breaks the chains. I mean, he's a wild man. No man could tame him. Now let's read about his life here. In chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now that sounds like a person in misery. He's cutting himself. He's crying aloud. I mean, I've been putting the window up and winter's going out of the way, and all of a sudden I hear this scream in the woods and a bunch of coons going on. And man, they can make a racket. You think somebody's dying out there. And to think this is a grown man screaming and crying all the night long, and no man could tame him. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that they may enter into them. This is the first case, by the way, you find suicide in the Bible. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. As I thought about this, I'm thinking in my mind, I didn't write it down. I'd tell Sharon, "Where's that place in the Bible?" I had it in my mind, and it went out of my mind. We're to find it in Mark here, chapter 5. But as I read it last night, and I read it earlier this morning, I'm thinking, these swine. Now, Legion sounds a lot for one man to have that many demons inside him, to where a whole herd run off down a steep bank, right off a steep place, and drown themselves into the sea. They was all inside this man. One man, not a thousand of them, not ten. This was in one man. So he had a lot of different things wrong with him, you know, of this spirit, that spirit, lustful spirit, coveting spirit. He had them all. And it made him a crazy, wild man. And they were choked in the sea. In verse 14, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out of the sea what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and that had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." That's what I want us to see. Immediately from this man being delivered, with Jesus being delivered from this legion, these demons that was in his life, immediately there he was. Now remember what he was before? He was naked, he run, he screamed all the night, no man could tame him, and now he is, what's it say? He was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. That's what happens when someone comes and meets the Lord. They're no longer running, they're sitting, they're clothed, and they're in their right mind. "And they were afraid, and they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray into the part of their coast, and when he was coming to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might what? Be with him." Immediately, he's wanting to follow the Lord. Immediately in his life, he drops his old life behind him and he's got a new life now. He clothes himself. He's in his right mind. He says, "Lord, I'm following you." The fruit in his life that was immediately made known there. You see that? And that's his light shining. He no longer had the fruits of the old flesh doing what it wanted to do. He had the new because he'd been changed. We was watching the cathedrals last night, one of the bass singer, and he was a paratrooper and he was in the army 3 years, and he got with the wrong crowd and the wrong people, did the wrong things, but he got back home and he gloriously got saved, and God pulled him out of that life, and he said, "And God gloriously changed me, pulled my feet out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock." He said the drinking changed, the wild living changed, and he pulled me into a place to where all I wanted to do was follow him. You know what happened to me? November 15th, 1988, that's what happened to me. God pulled my feet out of the miry clay and the things that I used to do. He gave me a new desire and new motives in my life. I clothed myself, got me in my right mind, and you know, first thing I wanted to do, I wanted to follow him. If there's no motive to follow the Lord, there's something wrong with someone's salvation. It's when we have a repentant life and turn unto Him and want to follow Him. Now there's all kinds of fruit that I looked up and I kind of pulled something out and of different ones that we looked at, of bearing fruit. Let me get into them. I found fruit unto life eternal. We're going to look into that. Fruit unto holiness. And then there's also the fruits that people see in your lives and pick off from you and that they see God in your life. Now who can give me an example of fruit that they may see? And I say you're at your workplace, what do they see? The one of the most peaceable fruits they possibly see in your life that jumps out from everything else, what do they see in you? Give me one. Come on. Get your brains clicking. What's one that they see in you? That's the key. And what about our speech that changes us? The disciples, even when he was warming his hands by the enemy's fire, they said, your speech betrayed you. They knew who he'd been with because how he taught. What else did they see? What's a Christian have that the world don't have? Oh, we have a forgiving heart. We're not one to hold grudges. Good. What's another one? We have forgiveness. And what's an attribute of who's got the most forgiveness you can think of? Jesus! So an attribute of His life, if you're saved, it becomes part of our life because it's His Spirit in us wanting to come out. So our speech is changed. Our attitude, how we feel towards others changes. What's something else? Come on. Places we go, it tells who you are. What's something else? Yeah, how you walk. Or my britches are down to here and I look like I need a belt. Or they got a belt on that ain't got them up. I'm going, I can't figure that one out yet. You know, their dress, it tells who you are. It's about your attitude. Come on, what's another one? Come on. Kindness. You know one of the first things I noticed about a Christian when I looked at him? They had peace. World ain't got peace. They're looking in all the wrong places to find peace. Find something to fill their lives of something that's a big hole that can never be filled. But what it needs is Jesus, the only one that can fill it. But a Christian has peace. World don't have peace. That's why the first thing, I hear these guys at work, first thing on, boy, payday comes, they're wanting to hit, boy, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, and I'm going, did I sound that bad? Probably did, maybe worse. You know, and I'm thinking in my mind going, my soul. And all they need is Jesus. They need the Lord in their lives. So let's turn to 2 Peter real quick. We got time. Peace. Peace is what they need. Peace is what they don't have. And this is going to tie right back. You're going to say, hey, we've been here before. That's right, you've been here before. Because it all ties together. It all pulls together. 2 Peter chapter 1. And peace is what they need to see from our lives. And you can tell. I can tell. I remember one time at Ford, and I've told you this, but I'm going to tell you again, but my alarm clock usually got a battery that works to help you, even if your electricity's off, you know, it kicks your power off, and your alarm clock, oh, if it has no juice, it'll set back to midnight again, and it starts over again. But if you got a battery in there, it'll keep running and keep the right time and go ahead and get you up like you're supposed to. Well, my battery was dead, and I got up, and it's time to go to work. No time to pray, no time to read, no time to shave. Just get up in the car and get there as fast as you can. And I'm running that place, and I'm almost like, this is what is different about this. I couldn't even put my finger on it. It was all the demons and devils and all the chaos and all the drama in that place. I could feel it. It was oppressing me. All the things of the world just shoving down. I'm going, there I am, defenseless, no armor on, no time to read, no time to pray. And I said, I need a Bible quick. So I hurried up and get ahead and go find Brother Eddie Brandstetter, because he had a desk back here. I knew it had a Bible in it. And I said, man, let me get that Bible, read some out loud. In other words, I needed that little bit of meditation time with the Lord. It's very important, let your light shine. Because without it, somebody would have did something wrong, and I might have, something might have come out. That's what happens when you ain't got your guard on. You ain't got your sword drawn. Don't have your armor. Don't got your helmet of salvation on. Let us look here. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look here in verse 2. Grace and peace be, don't say added. I love this word. Multiplied. It adds up a lot quicker than adding stuff to your life. Multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. It's very important to be a light, to let fruit shine in our life, is have this book in us daily. A daily dose of God's Word in us. Dying to ourselves, meditating in it. Even if it's one verse and you just meditate. Say, Lord, let this find root in my heart that others see it. And here it is, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power had given to us some things. Didn't say some things. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the fruit. The fruit of holiness, the fruit of godliness that needs to be seen in our life. And it starts off with God's peace in us. That the world see we have peace, that God's enough in our life. He is able to hold us up. God's able to stand us up. God's able to put a song in our heart. God's able to strengthen us in times of trouble. God is able. He is enough. And look at verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature. That godly, holy nature, which is God in us, the hope of glory, that shines out, that bears fruit, that others see, that peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. I love this. And besides all this, given diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and misservice, and brotherly kindness. Listen, all these attributes, listen to this, in verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, that they make you, that ye shall neither be barren or nor unfruitful. Because if these things aren't in you, or isn't in you, you're not fruitful. God's ordained us that we be fruitful. Because I have not called you, but or chosen you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you that you bear fruit. And I ordained you. Boy, ain't that something to think that He's ordained us to bear fruit. And here's a way that shows clearly this grace and peace that be multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. These great and precious promises that we put on this divine nature, the divine nature that it gives this diligence to add to our faith. Virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. What's the bond of perfectionist? What's the great commandment? Of all commandments, what is it? Somebody here has got to know it. Love. Love the Lord your God with some of your heart. No, all of it. The whole kit and caboodle with the kitchen sink with it. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all the mind, with all your strength. With all your mind, I mean it's every bit of you. You're loving God despite what happens in our life. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fruitful, that's what God's ordained us to be. That we bear fruit for the glory and honor of God. And I know I'm not going to get into these, but fruit into eternal life. Fruit of righteousness, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of our labor, the peaceable fruit of righteousness, the fruit of our lips. And we're going to go in depth in each one of these and see some live characters from the Word of God that we can see it in their lives that they're no different than we are. Some of them went through the fire. I was listening to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not the one that went back to Bedigo's. I mean, the real McCoys that would not bow down to the idols of the king. Oh, king, we would not bow down. They wouldn't. And throw into the hot, fiery furnace, and somebody here was with them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, dear God, we love you. Lord, we know according to thy word that we have not chosen you, but you have chosen us and ordained us that we should bear fruit. Lord, help us. Lord, we know by the means of thy word and the Spirit of God that we're the only way we can do it, because we can do nothing of ourselves. You give us tools to use, and then we rely on you to do all the rest. Oh, dear God, we got a dying world out there that needs to see Jesus in us. Lord, help us. Help us to die daily that you may shine through us, that we can bear fruit for the glory and honor of God. Father, we love you. Bless the service to come. Bless the singing. Bless the hymns and psalms. Bless the prayers. Bless the preaching of thy word. Dear God, give us that unction. As the pastor always said, Lord, we invite you to show yourself here today. Lord, we're a needy people, and we're surely nothing without thee, and we need you, dear God. Please show yourself today. Lord, and have your will and way with every heart, with every life. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, dear God. Believe in. Amen.